Welcome to the SearchITChannel.com Partner News Podcast for the week ending October 31st, 2008. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Features Editor.
And news writer Colin Steele.
Today's guest is Robert Anderson, CTO of DigiPede Technologies, who will be joining us live from the Microsoft Professional Developers Conference in Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us, Robert.
Thanks for having me.
Robert, it sounds like there's a lot of big news going on out there, lots of new announcements from Microsoft. That seems to be what they do at every PDC. Sometimes they deliver on what they say and sometimes not. What's the feeling out there in terms of some of the big announcements this year, like Windows Azure and Windows 7, and you know when those will be available for developers and resellers to start working with?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot going on. I mean, I think as you guys both know, there was supposed to be a PDC last year, and they decided to cancel it, reschedule it for this year when they would really have stuff to announce. Everyone's been waiting to see what Microsoft is going to do in terms of their cloud play. And sort of similar to how Microsoft was a bit late to the internet and then, you know, pretty much dominated the browser space for many, many years, it looks like they've hit the cloud space pretty hard.
I saw that you described Windows Azure, which is their cloud computing development platform, as a home run on your blog. You know, what does it offer that some of the other platforms out there like the EC2 by Amazon or the Google App Engine doesn't? And, you know, is that enough to start chipping away at the market share?
For a lot of companies out there, certainly partners like DigiPede, those other offerings are, you know, from those other companies are interesting, but they don't really have the depth or the breadth to help take existing applications and existing scenarios and really extend them out to the cloud. That's one thing that's pretty out of Microsoft's approach. Microsoft has such a deep understanding of enterprise needs and a very large developer base in the enterprise that they've been able to basically develop a whole platform that will allow those enterprise users and developers to, using the same skills they've already got, just start going ahead and using the cloud. Now, you know, in terms of comparing the different offerings, you know, one thing about Azure is that it's deep and wide. You know, there's a lot of different options there. You know, I don't want to sound like a, you know, Microsoft shill, but you know, they definitely have they definitely talk about this notion of the power of choice and allowing users to make the choice of what they want to use. Certainly, the only thing you could say against the new Microsoft platform is that there is maybe so much choice that it could be hard for some people to figure out where to get started.
So the most important question is Azure, is that how you pronounce it?
Azure, yeah.
Right.
I understand that the Microsoft guys had to have special training on the pronunciation.
Okay, then I don't feel so bad for messing it up before. Are you concerned at all about how complex it is and tying so much into the Microsoft family?
Well, you know, I'm not concerned about complexity in that I think that that there's some very straightforward scenarios for how people can get using it almost immediately. And, you know, the bits are out there. They're handing out codes to PDC to take advantage of it today. And, you know, if you've already adopted .NET as a platform, a lot of this stuff is just brain dead easy. I mean, they, you know, one of the, you know, the big advancements in .NET over the years has been the Windows Communication Foundation. And, you know, they've got a demo where they start using Windows Communication Foundation, or WCF, in the cloud with just a little configuration change. And it's that kind of productivity and developer productivity that .NET has always been about and the Visual Studio Tools has really done a good job at, that it makes this stuff, you know, pretty easy.
Has there been any information about the pricing model in terms of, you know, how much Microsoft will charge for storage and transactions and other things like that?
No,
for developers?
Not at all. All they've said is that, not surprisingly, it's free for now and it will be competitive in the future, of course, because it has to be. And that's one place where I think that we can pretty much accept that given the amount of scale that Microsoft is going to have, that they're going to be able to keep the prices down and be competitive. Otherwise, you know, they're going to have a bigger problem on their hands. Microsoft doesn't have to beat Google in the cloud space. Microsoft can just take, you know, half of it and be very successful and make a really big impact on users and enterprise success and productivity.
And last question on Azure, you know, what do you think it'll mean for this overall trend that we're seeing towards hosted services?
Certainly for partners, I think there's some that are going to find themselves challenge to keep ahead of the curve in terms of what Microsoft is going to be shipping and supporting, make sure that their products are differentiated from the Microsoft platform. And of course, that's always a challenge for partners. You know, if you're not just in a niche for some vertical, then you really have to be thinking about how Microsoft's going to start to be expanding into your space. Now, I expect that Google will come out with some great new thing soon. I mean, there's no way they're sitting on their laurels, but I think that the Microsoft Azure platform just sort of blows away the App Engine, and App Engine starts to look like a toy at this point. Now, I have a lot of respect for Google, and I believe that they're going to come out with something bigger and better and all of that. But I think they're still going to be very challenged to be able to get that into the enterprise and have enterprise developers be able to take advantage of Google's App Engine as well as on-premises applications. It'll be interesting also to see how, going forward, how the Azure, the very lowest level of Azure, which was called Red Dog, how that ends up competing with EC2 for Windows. It's not
especially now that Amazon you started hosting the Microsoft software right. on the EC2.
Right. Certainly, it's been kind of a given that Amazon was going to get to that at some point. I was in the past under the impression that Microsoft wasn't going to go at that right away. And this first initial CTP doesn't really give developers control over VMs at all. So today there is no competition there, but that certainly is where they're heading.
One of the other big announcements this week at the PDC was Windows 7, which is the new operating system to succeed Vista. I read on your blog that you didn't seem as excited about that as you did for Azure. And a lot of the press around Windows 7 so far is that Microsoft is kind of treating it as more of an upgrade to Vista and trying to fix a lot of the things that went wrong in the first place. Do you think that'll be enough to stop the bad publicity and the bad reception that Vista's gotten in the marketplace?
It could be enough, but time has to tell, right? I mean, Windows 7 has to be released, and you know, what they gave us yesterday were the early bits. I'm not even a beta yet. So, you know, I hope that they can get it released next year. I'd like to make a public plea that they actually give it away as upgrades to every Vista user on the planet. That would help a lot. I mean, they can't get past the fact that Vista was a perceived failure. But they've just been so hammered in the press and by real users that they've given up some real credibility in the market in terms of their operating system skills. And the one thing that I am excited about Windows 7 is if they can really deliver on the performance improvements they're talking about, then that's a big deal. Because I am a Microsoft Windows developer. I'm not going to run out and buy a Macintosh or you know run Apple OS's. There's nothing for me there. But what I care most of all about is productivity, and the productivity that I lose waiting for some window to appear in Windows Vista or for waiting for a machine to start up. It's unacceptable. So if they can nail that and they can do it quickly and they can again pretty much give it away as upgrades anyway. Then you know, I think they can get past it.
What does this early version of Windows 7 have, or what will Windows 7 need to have in the future to really move on from Vista? What are some features and things like that you're looking forward to and hoping for?
Well, I understand that there's some improvements to the desktop manager. Although I think that if you're a Vista user or if you're a Windows user, when you see the improvements, mostly you go, well, yeah, you guys should have done that 5 years ago. So there's not a lot of stuff there that I see that really gets me excited. Again, it's really the performance. So I feel like a lot of the stuff is just catch-up. And I'm not excited about any of it in particular. I just hope it runs a lot better.
All right. Robert Anderson, CTO for DigiPi Technologies. Thanks a lot for joining us from the PDC in Los Angeles.
That was my pleasure. Thank you.
And that's about all we have time for today. Next week joining us is Jeff Baywall, the president of Technology Solutions for Avnet. He'll be updating us with what's going on with the Avnet partners involved with Avnet Technology Solutions. You can find the links to PDC coverage below on the page. To download this podcast and other past ones, check out searchitchannel.com/download. Be sure to use searchitchannel.com for all of your IT channel professional needs. This has been Elaine Hom.
And Colin Steele.
And thanks for joining us.